All right, artists, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, let's talk about art.
Art? Art's pretty.
Sure is.
All right, well, we have two of my favorite artists here. So, going in alphabetical order, we have Caitlin Kuwald. It's been a while since I talked to both of you. So, Caitlin, it's been probably a year.
It might be more, yeah.
Yeah, you've had a baby since then.
I have.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Michelle, probably also maybe a year-ish or so, a little
something
while.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you both been?
Go ahead.
I have a feeling we've both been good.
I probably shouldn't throw out dual questions like that. I should ask one at a time. Bad host, bad. All right, well, here we are on Criterion Now, episode 14. Just a little housekeeping here. We have a Facebook group now, so if you're into Facebook and you want to follow the show, I'm terrible at Twitter. I'm okay with my personal account, but I have not been very adept at posting the show and all that, so we just made a Facebook group, and there's some active people in there, so hang out if you want, and the link will be in the show notes. Also, last week we messed up, and we almost messed up this week, but last week we actually messed up, and we had a lost episode, so that means we have a ton here, so I'm gonna kind of breeze through some of the things and maybe cut out some things since we have such great guests, but I will kind of summarize some of the things that happened last week. It was, of course, audio problems. It happens very rarely, but it happened badly last week. So anyway, here we have our guests, two artistes. We have Caitlin Kuwald, who is a Criterion and various other projects artist. Hey, Caitlin.
Hello.
And we have Michelle Rosenthal, who is a Criterion fan artist, but also a professional illustrator, has worked on a bunch of other projects. So, hey, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, I'm the person who pretends to do what Caitlin does.
But you pretend very, very well. You're
one. Oh, thank you.
You're very good. And Caitlin, you not pretend, but you do it very, very well. So
thanks.
So anyway, we always start by warming up and talking about what we've been up to lately. So Caitlin, and it's been a while. I've seen some of your projects over the past year or so. But what have you been doing lately, aside from raising a kid? Or you can talk about raising a kid too.
Yeah, that's been kind of the biggest thing. Mostly because not only did I have a kid, but pregnancy was a big pain in the butt. So it's been a lot. You know, it's been pretty difficult. But now, I mean, that was difficult. It's wonderful now. I'm just trying to figure out how to balance work and baby. But project-wise, I've done a little bit. I've done some covers for some magazines. I just did a big project for the Progressive magazine that's out now.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was fun. That was the first time I did something with the baby, and I was like, okay, we're going to do this and figure out what to do with him while I'm working. And it worked. So, and then I've been actually doing some comics for a friend's blog. It's a blog about like menstruation. It's called The Mean Magenta, and so I've been doing pregnancy comics for that.
Pregnancy comics, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really fun, actually. It's been a really good way to express my misery when I was pregnant.
Have you seen 20th Century Women?
I did. I loved it.
Okay. Now, every time I hear the word menstruation, I think of that movie. So.
I was like, I didn't know if I was going to say that word, because it's kind of a horrible word, but I felt like, I don't know. Anyway. Whatever.
It's nature.
You got to embrace it. You got to embrace the horribleness.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
That's
just right. So, like, technical. And then I've done a little bit of stuff to support the resistance, so I have my Ruth Bader Ginsburg Dissent pins.
I saw that too. Resistance. Thank you.
Yeah, and there's another one that I'm doing a little head, her head next, which is going to be coming soon. So that's been great. It's been hard trying to figure out how to be involved when I'm really preoccupied with work and baby. So being able to make stuff to help makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, and we tend to dodge politics on this show, but you did make the Hillary Clinton coloring book, which I purchased. And I've had a lot of fun making monstrosities out of that thing.
Dude, that was such, it was so funny because I did that so long ago.
I know.
And I did it before any of this stuff happened, obviously. So when the original book came out, there's an opponents page, and it was the people who hired me to do it, Quirk Books, had just come up with what everybody thought, who would be his or her main Republican opponents, and they were all wrong. and so when it was published, I had to make these extra downloadable dolls to go into the pack, and then when they did the second printing, it has Trump in it, and I think Bernie is in it, it's weird to do something like that, that then it's like super topical, and then it's actually inaccurate, and it became dated in like 3 months.
Yeah, it was a crazy cycle. So, and I said coloring book, but it's really a what do you call it? Like a doll book?
Like a play set.
Yeah,
I think they call it a play set.
It was cool. Even for a very uncool situation.
Right.
Michelle, what have you been up to lately?
Lately I've been kind of bogged down in client stuff, so I haven't really gotten to do a lot of my own work lately. I don't have a baby to juggle, so I should count my blessings in terms of free time. But I'm like working on some book illustrations at the moment, and I was recently, not too long ago, I was selling some comics and prints at MoCA, which is a comic festival in New York City. And what else? I haven't completely abandoned my Criterion blog. I haven't added anything to it in 2017 yet. It's on the back burner. I will be adding to it eventually, but I have been trying to keep up with my other kind of ongoing blog project, which is
Queers in History.
Yeah, queer portraits in history, historical queer people. So, yeah, that's been kind of my free time project.
Cool.
And yeah, throwing out a political piece every now and then when I have the time, it's kind of hard not to.
Please.
And that was like never in my wheelhouse before, and now I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll be that person.
Right, it's changed us all.
It sure has, yeah. Well, we're talking about more pleasant stuff today, hopefully. For some, actually, I'm glad that you both brought up comic books, because I was going to ask something related to that lately. So, since our last episode didn't work, you get to talk about the July announcements. Are you okay with that?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Don't know cool. how much I'll add, but I am ready.
I think you'll have plenty. But and if it's okay, that's one thing about this show. If you haven't seen anything or if you have no comment, it doesn't matter. We have plenty to talk about. So the show is what we are. So, okay, well, the July releases were kind of disappointing for some. Not really because of quantity or anything, just more of the supplements. So I don't know if you ladies care about that too much, but we got an upgrade of a box set, which is Roberto Rossellini's War Trilogy. It's basically just a 4K restorations of the DVD set. And actually, I need to pay closer attention to the covers since I have YouTube Brilliant Artist on here. But I think it was the same covers. So, Caitlin,
I don't think that one changed.
Are you a Rossellini fan or?
So most of these I haven't seen.
You're forgiven.
Me neither. Don't worry about it. We're going to be.
Oh, no, I don't know these.
It's okay. Well, you
we're
established.
We're going to be clueless together.
And I'll put a link to our episode. And by the way, I had an echo in my ear, so I'm very self-conscious about that episode. But with Caitlin, and you established that, like, even though you had your art school, flirtations with, say, Bergman or whomever, that you're just a film fan in general. You're not an art film fan, right?
That's what I would say. So I'm actually, I was just looked to see, I have not actually seen any Rossellini films, so I don't own in it. I don't know.
Well, have you seen any Italian neorealism, like Bicycle Thieves or?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so that would lead me to say mostly they depress me, the ones that I've seen.
Yeah, and they are depressing.
Guess
yeah,
what?
And I can only do so much of that.
Yeah,
so these... I don't really embrace it.
These, I don't know if you're into history at all, but these are very, very depressing because they're right around the time that in the aftermath of the war, and they use a lot of actual locations. These are not pleasant movies. They're amazing movies, but they're not pleasant. Mm-hmm. So I have a predicament, and this is just total movie nerddom. And actually, I'm curious your thoughts, but I own the DVD, and I have a BFI Region B Blu-ray. So there's no reason for me to buy this other than just mm-hmm. owning Criterion stuff. So, but I feel like...
And yet you're going to.
I don't know. What do you think? Is that sick for me to buy three copies of the same thing?
No, I do the same thing with books.
Okay. Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, that's a rabbit hole with books. You could.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to bring it up.
No. You could. I mean, there's like gazillions of, if you wanted to collect every Catcher in the Rye.
I have three different paperback pocket editions of the Lord of the Rings trilogies because they all have different illustrated covers.
Oh, cool. Oh, I absolutely get that.
I have a set with just those like really cheesy, like, straight from a photo 70s covers where I just really like thinking of the illustrator like inviting his burly friend into his living room to like pose as the dwarf and like probably had all those costumes and love those covers.
Cool.
Back before the internet, you know, like you needed to invite your friend over and actually do a photo
right.
shoot.
Yeah. Well, the covers for these, the cover for the box set is just World War II, and these are the same covers from ages ago. I think they're actually pretty good. They're not elaborate illustrations or anything. I think they're probably Photoshop. But any opinions on these? So they're really 6-7 year outdated covers. But any thoughts on these or
on the Rossellini specifically, or all the ones on the list?
I guess Rossellini for now, but we'll.
Okay. I like that it's just photography. I mean, it's such an interesting, like, to make the decision of, like, what is going to have an illustrated cover and what needs to stay photographed or stay true to the original. And, I mean, you can kind of go either way, but there's something, it's obviously extremely beautiful. It's really raw. It doesn't need to be anything other than what it already is. And I think you run the risk with something that's obviously so kind of serious and poignant that if it's illustrated, I think sometimes, not always, but sometimes it can, you know, take a little of that seriousness away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good use of black and white too. Michelle, are you a Rossellini fan?
So I've seen Rome, Open City. I haven't seen the other two. But yeah, I completely agree. And actually, to get a little anecdotal, when I saw Rome, Open City, a while back, I was going to do an illustration for my blog, and that was one of the films where I just gave up. I really wanted to do an illustration for it, and I was just like, this really doesn't need to be illustrated. Like, it's just trying so hard to be real and like raw and serious, and I don't know, like it's really trying not to put a gloss on it, and it didn't seem right to. I don't know,
and
to like take it one step away from reality.
And you're both illustrators and champions of illustrators and very skilled illustrators, but you realize that sometimes an illustration doesn't belong. Is that what you're saying?
Rarely.
Yeah, okay. So 99% of the time you need illustration.
Yeah, exactly.
And I realize as we're saying this too, like I totally believe it, but I also don't believe it at the same time. I'm like, wait, actually that's totally not true at all. Like anything can be illustrated by the right person doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that my illustration style didn't feel right for it. I don't know.
Well, that's fair.
Well, that's hard if you're choosing movies to do, like, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I could only do some of these movies. There's plenty of, like, most of these are not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's quite a challenge.
Oh, and speaking of which, since the last time we talked to you, you did Here Comes Mr. Jordan, by the way. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So that shows it's been a while. I love that movie, too. It's a lot of fun. So
that was such a weird movie.
It is, yeah. And had you seen it before you did that?
No. Every time I get a job, I've never seen the movie. I never even seen Armor Corps before when he sent that to me.
Really? Okay. Well, that's probably good.
I've seen like every other Fellini film except for that one. But that film, it's just so full of so many strange things. I mean, that he's, mm-hmm. you know, the pilot who plays the saxophone, and he's a boxer. And
yeah. Montgomery. Yeah. I love that movie. So, you probably are not. This month is definitely obscure director, art house director month. So we have L'Argent from Robert Bresson coming out July 18th. So I'm just going to guess that you have not seen that. That neither of you have?
No.
Yeah. Nope.
Any of you seen any Bresson? Or,
I've seen Pickpocket.
Okay.
And that's actually, it.
I think this cover is very, very similar to Pickpocket because this has just the money changing hands, and L'Argent means money. Yeah. And then the Pickpocket, if I remember, I think it just has the hand in the pocket, so it's very simple. But this was illustrated by... it doesn't say anymore.
No, I was looking because I love it. Is it a new illustration or is that an older cover?
No, this is a new release, so yeah, maybe the website stopped telling us. We'll have to talk to Eric about that.
I tried to search for who it was, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
It is nice, yeah. I like just the use of color and shading. It's simple, but I think mm-hmm. sometimes that's a
yeah. That's odd that they don't have it listed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Criterion, get on that. okay. So, and Bresson is slow cinema. It's not for everybody. I don't know if it would be up your alley, Caitlin, but I'm guessing probably not. No, it's nothing about you. It's just it's probably it's like the pinnacle of the art house slow cinema. People would be into it. So, and by that same token, we have Andrei Tarkovsky, not exactly Steven Soderbergh.
So beautiful though. I've seen Solaris and I've seen The Mirror. Mirror.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen Solaris, so you were one up on me for Tarkovsky.
Ooh, got one.
There you go.
One for Caitlin. So you probably haven't seen Stalker. Stalker's very, very slow, but it's very, very beautiful. And he filmed it in a part of Russia. I think it was actually Chernobyl. And he used some of the toxic waste or the nuclear waste. And that actually, so he got great images out of it, although it's painstakingly slow. It's so long.
I have a friend, I feel like every time I run into this friend, he's like, oh, I almost got through Stalker. I'm almost all the way through it.
It's tough. In fact, on the Lost episode, they talked about going to see it in the theaters because they wouldn't have the out. You know, you maybe have like two bathroom breaks, but then you're stuck. It's slow. I can't watch it in one sitting, but it's very, very beautiful. But what's interesting, and I don't know if you're, Caitlin, as a Criterion artist, I don't know if you're aware of the community and how there's hate. There's hate online. Imagine that.
Oh, yeah. I've encountered a little. Yeah.
Have you? Okay, well, they're assholes. But the Stalker cover did get a little bit of hate this month, which I don't know. What do you think?
Can you explain? Do you know what the symbol means?
It looks like a stoplight, a traffic light. I don't know.
Oh, so you don't know what it is?
I have no idea. That was a bad joke, but
because it's really okay. Because I was like, oh, is that what? Because it's there's to me, it looks so cryptic and interesting, and I feel like it's very, very meaningful. It must relate to something in the film, but
yeah.
The film is very philosophical, so it might tie to, and I don't remember. It is like almost 3 hours and slow. So, and I saw an old print, but the Kino print. So I don't know what it means. And I think this is just an image from the film, I believe. Aside from the little sketch. So Michelle, do you like this cover?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Caitlin on this. It makes me really want to watch the movie, so that's not a bad thing. Because it mm-hmm. is, yeah, it does, it's like it's presenting a mystery. And yeah, I kind of assumed that if you'd seen the film, you'd look at this and be like, ah, I see what they're doing. But maybe you don't. Maybe people who've seen this film are looking and being like, what are they going for there?
I think
that what the hate online has been? Like, are they like saying that does it make sense? Or
I can never understand the hate online, but
people like having opinions.
Yeah, and not everybody agrees, as we know all too well. But I think that some of the hate is that it is just an aesthetically beautiful movie, and there are lots of famous shots. In fact, I think the shot on the Criterion website with the little I don't know what you call the little bumps and the mounds on the floor.
Yeah.
That's a pretty beautiful scene. And I think some people said the posters were better. People are snarky. I like it. And on our last episode, they all liked it too. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
I think there's also just something really daunting for taking a movie that's really long and really sprawling and has a lot of different ideas and distilling that. So I don't know. Like, if you take one iconic image and use that to define the whole film, like that can fall short.
Yeah, no, and there I can't think of one image that it's just a series, kind of like, well, you've seen Mirror, Caitlin, so it's probably tough to think of just one image that would just kind of, yeah, as Michelle said, distill the film. It's kind of similar. So, well, we have going from art house to American. Well, I wouldn't say Albert Brooks is not art house, but we have Albert Brooks' Lost in America coming out July 25th, right before my birthday. That's a good timing. So I'm a huge fan of this film. I just think it's a great tale of kind of the hippie goes and the yuppie period. So have either of you, I'll just throw it out there, anybody seen this or like Albert Brooks?
I don't know anything about this one.
I've not seen it. I have seen bits of it before. It's been kind of, it's just one of those movies that people have been watching in my life for whatever reason, and I've never seen the whole thing. I am a combination with Albert Brooks, finding him very funny and really irritating, which could be why I've never committed myself to watching it. But for some reason, when I was looking at this list, I was like, I feel like this, I just need to do this. I think that now I would really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because my wife said the same thing. She's not a big Albert Brooks fan, and I don't know if she'd use the word irritating, but she hadn't seen it either. And I said, oh, no, you have to. It's basically about an executive that has a nest egg and decides to Winnebago, whatever, what are those things called? and tour the world, which is, I can get on board with. And things, of course, it's a movie, so things don't go well. There's conflict. So this cover, let me see if they credit this.
They don't credit this one either.
Oh man, what's going on here?
Get it together. All right. Criterion.
Well, Caitlin, I think since you know Eric, you need to ask him.
Yeah.
What's the deal? I think this is a beautiful cover. I'll start with you, Michelle. What do you think of them burying their head in the sand in the desert?
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. I think it tells you something about the feel of the film. It's going to be beautiful and meaningful and funny. That's what I'm getting from this, knowing nothing about the film.
Yeah, and knowing something about the film, I know it's been a while since I've seen it, but Vegas plays prominently. So Vegas has a desert, and of course they tour the country. So, yeah, I don't believe this is a shot from the film or a sketch of a shot from a film. But, what do you think, Caitlin?
I like it. I mean, I think it's really beautiful. The teacher in me thinks that's a bit of a heavy-handed metaphor, but but you know, I think there's always a time and place for that, and especially when it's something like this, which is done so beautifully and clearly rendered really well. And I wish I knew who did it, but because it's so skillful, they're owning the metaphor really well. And I think what you said, Michelle, is totally right. Like it says, like, you know, you can tell what you're going to experience by looking at this. It's pretty clear. Without having seen the whole movie, I feel like it distills the movie down really well.
Yeah. Kind of wacky, but also a little serious. I mean, people, they're obviously lost. Well, so that's it. So, and I don't think you all would care too much, but a lot of people were complaining about, again, people complain. They'll find things to complain about. The supplements were a little thin this month, but I don't know if you looked at the previous months, but May was a huge month, just huge releases, although Othello is going to be delayed, Orson Welles' Othello. So, and I don't know if either of you had a chance to look at the other upcoming covers, but did you see any covers that jumped out at you, Caitlin?
Yeah, well, I mean, even though it's not... oh, wait, so this is May. I'm looking at which one's here. Oh, you mean what's coming out after July or what has recently come out?
Or what's coming out or like in May or April?
Okay. Oh, right. It's May now. Oh, my God.
It is actually May.
Because I didn't remember when it was. Okay. Always, or you June. Know, anything with Ghost World, even though it looks like the comic, Daniel Klaus, amazing. Mm-hmm. As per usual. I love the Good Morning cover.
Me too.
The Yasujiro Ozu. It's Tetsuru Kiyuchi. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. He's such an amazing illustrator. I've always loved his stuff. So it's really cool to see that he's doing a Criterion cover.
Yeah, and Klaus did his own, of course.
Which
is right. And then the did you see the Marseille trilogy? You probably haven't seen the films, but that was a French comic artist. Let's see, what was his name? Manuel Fior. And so that actually prompted a question. I don't know if this is controversial in illustration circles, but obviously mm-hmm. comics and graphic illustration, there's a little fine line. They're both illustrations, but mm-hmm. you know, once they're different mediums, I guess they're probably both graphic now, or both using Illustrator. But do you embrace comic work, or do you think it's a different form of art? What do you think, Michelle? What do you think?
I think you'd be hard pressed to find an illustrator that didn't also love comic illustrations. I think, not every illustrator works in comics or works sequential art, whatever you want to call it.
Sequential art, I like that.
Yeah, that's a little academic term for you. But I think, even though it can be kind of two different worlds, there's a lot of overlap, and I think there's always a lot of respect for comic art from illustrators. And I love the Marseille trilogy cover, and I'm going to echo Caitlin. I'm so excited about Ghost World. Like, can't even tell you how excited. Mm-hmm. Maybe my favorite film of all time. Judge me however
That's
you
right.
will. But,
we talked about that before. That's right. Oh, nice. Yeah. And in fact, it was rumored for years. So I think we actually talked about some speculation about it. So I was just trying to stir up controversy. So are you going to throw any shade at comic artist Caitlin?
No, absolutely not. Of course not. I don't think you can stir up controversy that way. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
None of the people fight on this show. I'm trying to.
I think with illustration, I was trying to think about how you could stir up controversy. If it's talking about any kind of art or illustration with illustrators, illustrators are really nice, open people. Like, everybody mm-hmm. wants everybody to do great work, no matter what kind of work they do. And everybody does a little bit of everything. I mean,
yeah,
I at least tries it, like gives it a shot to see what happens. And then, you know, I've just been doing I'm teaching an introduction to illustration class. And I've redid a history of illustration presentation that I've had for years, and I've expanded it, and it was, you know, I made a point that there had to be a substantial amount of representation of comic art in that history, because nice. All of this stuff goes in and out of everyone's influenced by everybody else, and if you're not talking about that, the same with like children's books, like people don't tend to choose children's books in history of illustration, which is also ridiculous that you know, you have to talk about all this stuff as it happens, you know, even though they all kind of seem like separate worlds, they're all so connected, and we all love each other's work so much that you can see the influences no matter what genre people are working in. So, no controversy.
No, yeah. Okay. Well, do you think, say, superhero media, is that seen as, like, a lesser form of comic artwork? Or
no, not even.
I'm trying.
I think another thing with illustration is, I think if you want to stir up controversy, it's defining the line between illustration and fine art. That's when you'll get into trouble.
And usually from the fine artist. See, that's how it's looked. Yeah, I'll say that, and now everybody's going to hate me.
Yeah. See, there you go. I make controversy.
There you go.
But I think illustrators kind of don't really have a problem embracing lowbrow. I think it's all, I think we tend to see the beauty in all of it.
Illustrators are just cool.
It's changed so much too. Like what comics and graphic novels mean now is so different from what it used to mean.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. Well,
illustrators will go back to, I don't know, Will Eisner and gush and gush and gush. So yeah, I don't think there's much limitation there.
I don't know who that is. I'm embarrassed.
Check it out.
I'm out of my league here.
Well, spirit.
Speaking of art, there's a movie that's going to come to Criterion called The Lure, which is a mermaid vampire movie, I guess. Yeah, it sounds just like going from Tarkovsky to mermaid vampires.
You can tell what I like. I'm like, that sounds good.
I've heard it's great, actually. So Janice toured it for, I forget where it's from. I want to say Czech, but it's not Czech. But they toured it, had a little theatrical release, so it's their Criterion's already selling the art from their website, so it's going to come out. There's a poster. You can buy the poster. It's a mermaid. It's probably a little not safe for work. A mermaid in the bathtub. It might be a shot from the film. Actually, has a little cat. Looks like the house the cat from the house, but.
It does.
Anyway, have you seen any vampire mermaid films?
Are there others?
No, I don't know. What do I say? This would be tough to illustrate, too, I think.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? This looks ripe for illustration.
Really?
Yeah, I agree.
It sounds like it'd be fun, I think.
Yeah.
So
who did this poster? So is this poster... being used, but it's not the Criterion image, or?
Well, the Criterion's not announced yet, so.
No, they haven't. Oh, it's not official.
I'm guessing they'll use this image. When they've done this before, they've used other, it's the same poster. So I could probably find out somewhere who did that, but maybe not on Criterion's website, though. That's not cool. So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out if they change that policy. So, all right, well, are you want to get into some movie geek stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Okay, well, so there was a newsletter drawing. It actually just came out a couple days ago, and this is really, really weird to me. So the consensus is it is Fire Walk with Meat. So it is a walk with fire, and there's a steak in it. So, yeah. It's weird how people figure these out so quickly, too. By the time I got off work, everybody's like, okay, it's Firewalk with Meat. And, of course, that means Firewalk with Me, David Lynch, which just seems weird to be a Criterion release. But, Caitlin, are you a David Lynch or Twin Peaks enthusiast?
Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you jazzed for the new season, or have you finished the others?
I am. I mean, I can't not be. I mean, I'm skeptical. I'm nervous. but I will absolutely watch it, and I can't help but be taken in by the nostalgia of those kind of things. Like I actually, I don't know, maybe I'm an idiot, but I kind of liked the new season of The X-Files because I just liked being there again. Mm-hmm. And I know people hated it, but so I kind of have a feeling with this that even that just to be in that space again is going to be so wonderful that even if it's not great, but maybe it'll be fabulous.
It kind of has like a who's who, like everybody that's ever worked with Lynch. For me, I've seen maybe 4 episodes, and I have the box set. It's such a commitment. I watch so many other movies that I just think of all the TV I have to watch to get to this. But I watched Fire Walk with Me without seeing the series, and I didn't really get it. So
what? Why would you do that?
I didn't know better.
Wait, so you've only seen 4 episodes of Twin Peaks
and Fire Walk with Me, yeah. But
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
so I know enough.
You have some work to do.
It's coffee and pie. I got that
That's
part.
That's right. That's the way to do it. One, you can have a party once a week, bring people over for pie and, you know, donuts.
We'll get so fat.
Already planning it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a weird Criterion title, too, because it's already out. It's tied to a TV series. Obviously, they're not going to do the whole series or the new series. Michelle, you have Twin Peaks fan?
Yeah, big fan. Nice. you need to get on that. But yeah, I mean, Fire Walk With Me is not very good. I would sit down and watch it again.
I'm glad
it's not very good. And like, you shouldn't judge Twin Peaks by that movie.
Mm-mm, definitely not.
See, I didn't think it was good, but yeah. I thought that was because I hadn't seen the show and I didn't get it. So you're saying it's just not good.
Seeing the show won't help you get it anymore. Okay. There's really nothing more to get. There's like one line, there's like one little pass-by line in Fire Walk With Me that kind of answers a question from the Twin Peaks finale. It's a little bit of a blink and you miss it thing, but other than that, it has almost nothing to do with it.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's been dissected backwards and forwards.
I'm sure.
Lynch has such a fan base. By far, our biggest podcast episode was the Lynch one. We got in the top 50 podcasts just from that one alone for a little while. Yeah, so... one thing I wonder is, what could Criterion do with Fire Walk With Me as a standalone movie? Any thoughts, Michelle? Do you think anything?
Oh, jeez, I don't know. Is it going to be a tie-in to the new series? Like, they have like a documentary about the reboot or something?
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
I'm curious what it's like to get all those people back together again.
The new series is with Showtime, so I'm sure.
Yeah, that seems unlikely.
The rights have to be complicated. I'm Showtime's not going to say, "Hey, Criterion, just do your thing." But Janice is touring a documentary about David Lynch called The Art of Life. And actually, I think it's playing theaters right now. It might be playing near you, Caitlin. But so maybe there's that tie-in. So I don't, Caitlin, do you have any thoughts? Does it seem weird that Criterion's going to do this movie?
No, I mean, I don't know. They always throw in ones here and there that you're kind of like, oh, okay, sure, why not? and I think, you know, it isn't a great movie, but it's kind of essential. If you watch Twin Peaks, you kind of need to watch it. It's part of his oeuvre, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And it's so culty. Like, he's already culty, it's like a whole nother level of cultiness that I think that you could make it really fun. And if they make an incredible package, and I don't really know what you could put in there. I mean, I think the idea of stuff for the show, the new show, would be cool, but I don't know. Anything that
gonna say, the dream would be two seasons of Twin Peaks plus Fire Walk With Me, but that's
That's already out. Actually, that's what I have upstairs that I keep on procrastinating.
Then I don't know.
Yeah, of course, Criterion is a business too, and they want to sell discs. And tying in with the revamp of the return of a popular TV show, it's not a bad business decision. So,
I mean, if David Lynch had anything that he, because his stuff can be so opaque sometimes, I think that there could be a possibility of, you know, a little teaser shedding light on something or, you know, answering a question. I mean, I doubt he would really want to do that, but
yeah, he's not. But he likes to tease, though, I think. So maybe anything that that gets people talking more.
The clues on Mulholland Drive.
yeah. That's one thing we talked about on our episode. He does. Yeah. He gives you a nugget, but, you know, pretty much throws out 10 more questions with every answer. So, all right. Well, one thing we do try to do is talk about some of the recent releases. And on our little Lost episode, we talked about Buena Vista Social Club. So we lost that. So I'll just kind of recap, and we had Matt Gasteyer and Travis Trudell on that episode that you'll never hear, but I'll just throw it out to either of you, just jump in. Have either of you seen Buena Vista Social Club or have any opinions of it?
I have, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. Been a while, though, I have to say.
Michelle?
I have not. I've seen some other vendors, but not that one.
Okay. Well, we had all seen it, and Caitlin, my reaction was the same as yours. I saw it, you know, around the time it came out. It was a big deal around that time.
Yeah, it was. And then the album that came with it, I felt like it was playing everywhere.
So I was excited to revisit this, and the Travis and Matt, I think, pretty much echoed this, is that it's a great movie. It's a great glimpse into Cuban culture, but it's not really something you rewatch. In fact, Travis threw out that rather than rewatch it, because I wouldn't use the word disappointed, but I was a little underwhelmed rewatching it. I was like, okay, I've seen it before. Okay, the music's great, but like listening to the CD or the MP3s of the album, that would almost be like the rewatch. If people haven't seen it, I would recommend it. Sure, Michelle, have at it.
I will eventually. Yeah.
If you like international music, the music is fantastic, and the stories are fantastic too. A lot of people aren't around anymore, actually, but but they had one of the guys, I think, lived to be 108 or something. It's amazing the longevity there. But anyway, Buena Vista Social Club, go get it if you want. And this week we had two new releases. We had Rumblefish and Tampopo. There's also a list of Kagamusha, but that's, I think, just a reissue. So I actually went and ate ramen food last night at a restaurant just because of Tampopo. That's my world. So have either of you seen, Michelle, have you seen Rumblefish or Tampopo?
I've actually seen parts of Rumblefish. I haven't seen Tampopo at all. But from what I've seen, Rumblefish is a very good-looking movie. That's most of what I can say about it.
Tampopo's a foodie movie and kind of a weird Japanese comedy. I haven't seen anything like it. So, Caitlin, have you seen either of these two, or do you like ramen?
Yeah, I've seen them both.
Awesome.
I love Tampopo. I think it's such a wonderful movie. And I get grossed out by listening to people chew, and I don't even care about that in this movie, because it's like the kind of sensuality of food. I think I'm amazed that it doesn't gross me out. And I love the cover. Ping Zhu's awesome.
Yes, I second that.
Yeah, I've never had gourmet ramen last night. I was inspired by, or until last night, I was inspired by this movie, and it's not an easy thing to eat cleanly. I would never take a date there.
Yes.
Not that I'm ever going to date.
Yeah, but you don't look elegant. At least not what we would consider elegant.
Yeah, the mouth can't.
It's a lot of slurping.
Yeah.
So good, though.
You have to slurp. If you're gonna consume it, you got to slurp. So... anyway, those are coming out, and then, I don't have the page up. Let's see. And, so we're almost to May. Yeah, we are in May. And so next will be Jean Dielman, 23 Quai de Commerce, speaking of slow cinema and domesticity. And then Good Morning will be the week after that. So a big, big month of May, even with Othello being delayed. Huge month. Mm-hmm. At the end of the month, we have Ghost World, so yay. and a little downer, we lost somebody this week. We lost Jonathan Demme. I don't want to say a huge fan, but I really appreciated a lot of his concert work and some of his feature films. So, Caitlin, are you? In fact, when we talked last, David Bowie had just passed, and I remember we were.
Right.
I'm not comparing Demme and Bowie.
Man.
No disrespect to Demme, but. But anyway,
I didn't know he died. I didn't hear that at all.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah. No.
He passed. I think he was 70. So
I was gonna say he 73. Wasn't that old. Yeah.
Yeah, 73 seems just so young today. But I think I don't know what it was. It might have been cancer. He passed. Have you seen Stop Making Sense or Something Wild? Swimming with Sharks.
What? I'm looking now to see it. He's made so much.
I know.
I haven't seen Stop Making Sense.
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know if you like the Talking Heads, but I think you'd love that.
I'm sorry. No, I've totally seen that. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, and it's all about, yeah, absolutely. I was trying to find a damn jumpsuit like that one that, oh my God, I'm blanking on her name right now. She has that, this, like has this amazing like army jumpsuit thing that I was like, that's how I'll be cool.
That's it.
Oh yeah, the Talking Heads, dude, they're the best. I'm trying to think what else I've seen of his.
Well, of course,
just so much.
The big one is Silence of the Lambs, and I think that's his legacy. That's on the headlines. You know, Silence of the Lambs director, and which is a great film, but I think that does him. Because he's had so much great work, and in fact, my wife is a big fan of his Robin Hitchcock documentary, which probably not many people have seen. I know he did a Neil Young documentary. Actually, just recently did a Justin Timberlake documentary, which is apparently really good. I'm not going to say I dislike Timberlake, but he's not really my thing. So, Michelle, are you a fan of Demi or?
Well, I'm going to embarrass myself. I've only seen Silence of the Lambs. That's seriously it. And I'm just especially ashamed because Stop Making Sense has been on my to-watch list for, I don't know, the past 10 years, and I just have not gotten around to it. I love Talking Heads, and I just, sometimes I get a little bored with concert movies, but I do want to see it.
It's not like other concert movies.
Yeah, not at all.
That's what I hear.
It's like performance art. If you're into performance art and the music's just so great. I'm kind of like that. I'll watch concert movies. Like we've talked about Gimme Shelter a lot. So a lot of times when the Rolling Stones are playing, I'll go and do something. I'll take out the trash or something. But nothing against them. It's just I've seen it. But this I'm just kind of riveted by it. So in fact I've been hoping that Criterion would get the rights or somebody would get the rights.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It would be great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll miss him, miss his work. I don't think he'd worked a lot. Well, he had worked a little bit lately, so that's sad. But, of course, in the collection, he did Something Wild, which is, what was it, 85, 86, something like that, Jeff Daniels and Melanie Griffith.
Oh, so, right. Is that where they met? Oh, no. Is that not Jeff Daniels?
I don't know. I'm sure they met there. I don't know if that's where they first met. All right, well, move along. We have this thing called Short Takes, and this is just where you talk about a Criterion movie you've seen. It can be 5 years ago or it can be recently. So Caitlin, do you have anything you've seen recently?
Well, so I haven't seen a lot because we don't get to go to the movies anymore, and we do watch things, but it takes us 3 days to watch anything. but we did watch Diabolique. That's Ooh. The one thing, that I had never seen before that we just watched recently.
Oh, nice.
Which was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. But that's really it.
Yeah, it's been a little while. That's the Clouseau 1950s, and I remember that's what. There's some movies that have big twisted endings. The Sixth Sense is the big one that basically you watch once and then you watch twice, and then you're done. But Diabolique is one that I think I've seen three times, but it continues giving. It's I really like that one, so I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, good twist. Yeah, definitely good twist ending.
It was remade
and nice cover too.
Yeah, I forget who did the cover.
David Plunkett. Yeah.
Are you buds?
No.
Okay. I know that the illustration community is very, very tight-knit, so.
It is. That's very true, yeah.
It is, but we're all too shy to talk to each other.
So at a party, everybody's at the corner or looking for the corner? Is that it?
A little bit.
That's a lot of people, a lot of disciplines. Well, Michelle, do you have a film you've seen that you'd like to talk about?
I was going to talk about A Taste of Honey, which I saw a few weeks ago, and I got to see it in a movie theater, which is really exciting.
Nice. Oh, that's right. Film Forum's doing that. Is that where you saw it?
That is where I saw it. Yeah, Film Forum is doing a whole British New Wave series, and recently I was like, British New Wave is going to be my thing now. Like, that's going to be my new thing. I'm going to see all the British New Wave films, which, I say these things. It doesn't always actually
They're good,
happen,
but no, you can't binge watch these.
Yeah, so I feel like they're so hit or miss. Like, some of them I've seen have just been amazing, and some of them I just really haven't liked. And, but A Taste of Honey, I loved. It's like everything that I wish every British New Wave film was.
like, it just has great engaging characters. It's really funny, like, very bittersweet. Has, like, yeah, like, very three-dimensional characters. The lead is just, like, fantastic. Yeah, I liked it a lot. And, you know, it's like one of those coming-of-age films. The story isn't, like, anything too out there, but it's just really sweet. And I went and saw it with a friend of mine who I brought specifically because he's a big Morrissey fan. And A Taste of Honey was very influential to Morrissey.
Oh, right. Yeah, and the Beatles, too.
So we actually sat in the theater playing Spot the Morrissey lyric. we caught one or two. There's a few lines in there where we just looked at each other and we're like, there's one.
You know, there are a few kitchen sink movies that Morrissey was really into, and I know this is the big one, but I think there are others. Yeah, I saw it when it came out on Criterion. Was it last year or the year before? And I'm with you that there are hit or misses. I think this one was good, but not the best. I think like Loneliness of a Long Distance Runner or Sunday Night and Sunday Morning, but they're all very, very dramatic, and sometimes melodramatic. I'd say this one is a little more melodramatic,
Saturday Night, is it Saturday Night, Sunday Morning? Friday Night, Saturday Morning? I never remember.
Yeah, that was the, what's his name?
That one didn't do for me. I don't know, like, I have a hard time with, like, the really angry characters that are just, like, going around abusing everyone around them. And I'm like, why should I care about you?
Good for you.
I don't know. Like, I found this a much more relatable character.
Yeah.
But that's probably just my own biases.
There are a lot of angry men characters in British British kitchen sink realism. So, yeah. No, I'm with you. And so, anyway. Well, mine is Woman of the Year, which is a Tracy Hepburn. Either of you seen it?
I've not.
No.
Well, it's a George Stevens directed. It's actually one of the last comedies. Actually, it's kind of a sad story that he went to the war and filmed the concentration camps and was so shaken up he never did a comedy again. But this was the first Tracy and Hepburn vehicle, and it's a good movie. The one thing, I remember they teased this last year right before the election, and I think they did a picture of Hillary Clinton, hence Woman of the Year, and so everybody figured it out. But so I think I don't know why they waited a while because of that. But one thing I was curious about, I mean, George Stevens is a quality director, but I was curious how they would represent women in, you know, 1942, not expecting anything progressive or, you know, pretty much expecting regressive. And what was interesting is I think, and of course you can't judge a film based on the standards of 1940s Hollywood, but there was a little bit of independence in there with Hepburn's movie. But what kind of bothered me is that Stevens had an alternate ending, which was really, really great and really talked about the independence and the lack of reliance on each other, a kind of anti-domesticity. But what happened is the studio didn't like it, or test audiences didn't like it. So they filmed another ending, which was actually okay, but it was... It kind of took back a lot of the progress it made, and made it a little bit regressive. So, but still, but it was entertaining. It was funny. So, I don't know if you care about debasing women for a little humor, but happens a lot.
I've been meaning to see this movie. I read a biography of her a few years back, and this was one of the ones that they talked about a lot and I wanted to watch and then totally didn't do that. Okay. I mean, she was such, you know, an independent, kind of out of her time
sort of
woman. But yeah, no matter what she is, it was in the real world. I mean, you can't, you know, go up against what was going on in film. Well, just in society at the time anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it actually was supposed to be kind of a veiled commentary on just society and war society, but it's extremely veiled. I didn't pick up on it until it might be one of those where academia gets a hold of it and maybe reach a little bit. It happens. Anyway, I liked it, but it's not my favorite Stevens. My favorite Stevens is Shane. That ending crushes me. Won't spoil it because probably everybody's seen it anyway. But Shane,
I haven't.
Oh, you got to see it. It'll kill you.
No spoilers. Yeah, that's what I hear.
I don't think that's a spoiler. So, all right. Well, we have. I'm glad we're making time here because I was afraid we had too much to cover. But we like to talk about the Filmstruck stuff, and I know you're not. You're kind of both peripherally interested in Criterion, but that's not your focus. So, Caitlin, do you do Filmstruck, or have you jumped?
Yeah,
on
we
it?
Do. Yeah. So my husband, because we were watching Criterion films on Hulu.
Okay.
Until they went away. And my husband kind of does a Saturday morning watch a Criterion movie thing, which I often...
Way to go.
Recently, yeah, but recently I haven't been doing them because that's when I'm sleeping in because he's watching the baby and I'm sleeping to make up for my week of not getting enough sleep. So I have foregone movies for sleep for the time being.
That's a valid compromise.
That's the right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Be a mommy.
But this morning he was watching The Passenger.
Oh, cool.
And which I've seen years ago and got to see the end of again.
Oh, isn't that a great shot?
So yeah, we were talking about it. I was like, you know, thinking about how they went through the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was just trying to imagine how they did it, which is fascinating. Anyway, yeah, Filmstruck's great.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, and so this is 2 weeks worth of stuff that I have here that there's no way we're going to get through it. So, Michelle, do you have Filmstruck, or do you watch it much?
Yeah, I gave them my money on day one. I try to watch when I can. The problem is most of my movies happen while I'm doing work, so I can't put on any good movies while I'm working. Mm. So I've kind of been making my way through, like, a lot of the kind of stupid movies on Filmstruck and saving all the good ones for later.
Stupid movies aren't well, even the stupid movies.
But I have it, and it's great. No, I shouldn't say stupid, but movies I care less about. Like I put on Shock a lot while I was working. You know, I didn't need to watch that shot by shot.
Which one was that?
Shock a lot.
Oh, Shock a lot. Oh yeah. No, I'm with you there.
Movies that there has to be movies that you don't have to look at, which unfortunately, especially with Criterion films, you have to look at.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you have to kind of be in a zone, I think. So, but
yeah, I want to ask Caitlin, do you put on movies while you work? Do you like watch
films? I absolutely do. I not as much movies as I really got into watching cheesy detective shows. So I've watched the gamut of like the cheesiest, worst detective shows to the best, to the like the cheesiest on the other end, the really dark ones. So it has to be things that, like I said, you don't have to look at. So it's almost like watching a radio or listening to a radio show. And like it's the same problem for you. Like, sometimes I'll start something, and especially movies do this, where it's too good, and then I have to turn it off because I'm not getting any work done.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good problem to have. You listen to music when you work a lot.
Sometimes
I mostly listen to podcasts. On it.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to run through these a little bit. I don't think I'm going to get through. I'll pick and choose here. I'm not going to talk about the Italian series that I've never heard of until this morning. Romanzo Criminale. I'm sure it's great. But they had a thing in the main channel. Do you do the Criterion channel or both? Either.
I'm on both. Actually,
I think we're on both, too, yeah.
Okay. So they had a big thing on a genre noir, and if you know me, that's my thing. So they put out like 20 of his movies on Filmstruck a couple weeks ago. So I know this is probably maybe highbrow, but Caitlin, are you a genre noir fan?
I haven't. Seen any? I don't think. I feel so bad. I'm like, I'm gonna be on this, and I haven't like seen any of these movies.
It's okay. No.
It's okay. We're in this together, and I'm technically the Criterion fan here. So,
well, I've seen enough of both of you. So, someday in your life, maybe if you arrested and you have time on that Saturday morning, I would watch Grand Illusion. That's
okay.
That's an easier watch, and yeah, I think it would be up your alley. But that's
okay.
The best
on the list.
on the list. And actually, speaking of Kitchen Sink, there was one with Albert Finney that came out today. So I thought that was cool. I don't know if Saturday Night and Sunday Morning was on there, but I know that Dressed to Kill, no, not Dressed to Kill, Under the Volcano was on there. So any Albert Finney fans, Michelle?
Saturday Night and Sunday Morning is on here.
Oh, cool.
Which I saw and didn't like that much. So
yeah, he was angry.
He's really angry. I haven't seen any of these others yet. I want to see Tom Jones.
I do too. I think that's going to come out on Criterion. A lot of rumors. Although I know some people don't like it. It was a Best Picture winner. So, but you know, there's people that don't like a lot of things that I like.
Sure.
So, do you know Albert Finney? Do you like Albert Finney, Caitlin?
I do. I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about him. I feel like I've seen so many things that he's been in. He's been in so many things.
Yeah, well, I'll just put it out here, and I don't think I'll be in trouble for this, but my wife is a fangirl of Albert Finney and thinks he's hot. Or he was hot, so she's giving me the gaze. Was that okay?
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, so we haven't seen a whole lot of Albert Finney movies because they're not coming out anymore. I know he's still alive. Is he still working? I don't think so.
I'm looking.
He's probably getting up there.
I'm looking at his IMDb
he's
page
80.
Right now.
The last thing he was in was Skyfall.
Well, how can you top that?
Yeah, just go out on a high note. There you go.
Yeah, no, tremendous actor. I think an actor's actor. So, if you want to watch, and he plays a great drunk. Actually, Under the Volcano, I would recommend that one. That's a great film.
I've never seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. That's about a drunk. So, if you like drunk, have at it. All right, well, the Criterion Channel had a whole bunch of stuff. And one of the things I love about Filmstruck is their original content. And I think these last couple of weeks, they've kind of knocked it out of the park. So they had Tatsuya, I'm probably not saying it right. I think it's Tatsuya Nakadai, who is pretty much next to Mifune, probably the biggest Japanese actor of all time. And he had this long interview about the five Japanese masters, and it was so insightful and so interesting, talking about Kurosawa and Kobayashi and a few others. So and you didn't have to prep, but did either of you watch, Caitlin, did you watch any of these over the last couple weeks?
I didn't, but that sounds awesome. Now I want to watch that. That sounds fantastic.
It's a time commitment. It's about 45 minutes, but it goes by so quick, and he's older, and I don't know, do you know Nakadai?
I don't know.
You've probably seen him in movies, because I'm sure you've seen some Kurosawas here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Sword of Doom, have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in that. Well, the bad guy, good guy. The anti-hero.
He's the bad guy in Yojimbo, right?
He is, yes. And they talk about that. That's a really, really cool part. But he's getting up there, too, but he's so articulate. I mean, of course, it's in Japanese, and he's talking to an American scholar who's Japanese, who speaks amazing Japanese. So it really just a enthralling conversation. So, Michelle, did you get to watch any of these? Or?
No, I haven't gotten around to that, but yeah, definitely want to.
No problem, Matt. Well, there's also Adventures in Movie Going, and these are kind of fun little, I think they do about one a month, and this month was Michael Cera, so yeah. And speaking of my wife, she hates Michael Cera. Is that okay? Yeah, she said, yeah. She hates him. She doesn't like him or Jesse Eisenberg, and kind of lumps them together, so.
But I'm mixed on him. I mean, I mostly don't like him too much, but I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I mean, I love those comics, but I think he was fabulous in that. So I'm like, all right.
Well,
he just has to be in the right thing.
You might be on the same page with my wife, because she hasn't seen Scott Pilgrim, and I think just it's maybe too comic booky. But we went to Toronto, and she loves Toronto, so it's been on the list to watch. So yeah, yeah. So mostly annoyed with him is fair. Do you like Michael Cera, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent. He's okay. I feel like he's kind of easy to hate because he's in that just like really twee niche and
yeah,
kind of easy to get annoyed with, but. Yeah, same. Like, if he's in the right role, he doesn't bother me, but I don't really get excited about him.
We're trashing really, Michael Cera.
Yeah, I don't
he
know
could listen.
Yeah, and he lives. I think he lives in my neighborhood, so, you know, I gotta.
Oh, really? Out. Okay, we'll have to tell him hi. Well, he did.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Well, he did seem. So he has worked, and I'd say we'd all agree he's had he's a young guy, but he's had a pretty good career. But he is an art film buff, and actually he said he started collecting Criterions when he was 21, and then he just said he had to stop that. It was getting out of control, and I kind of relate, but I hadn't stopped it. But and then he was talking about how actually speaking of Yojimbo, one of his directors gave him a birthday present of 15 of his favorite movies of all time. And and one of them was Yojimbo, so that was his first exposure to Kurosawa. Of course, he loved it. But and he was talking to Peter Becker, so that they had a nice short conversation, 20 minutes or so. So yeah,
what a nice present.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Really?
Yeah, that's great. I forget the name. It was the guy that did Youth and Revolt. I think was the director. Forget his name, Arturo, I think, or something. So, so yeah. Anybody wants to give me a present? Give me your favorite films of all time. That's the way.
Right. That's
or books.
That's it's kind of a sweet. It's like really nice, but it's also like I want to get to know you better. I want you to know me better. Like,
right. I don't know. Yeah. This is me.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I gave my favorite 15 movies to people, I'd lose all my friends.
Every year for Hanukkah, my dad goes to Barnes & Noble and picks out like two or three random Criterion titles to give to me, and he has no idea what the movies are. He just like picks completely random Criterion movies as gifts.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm sure
he says he closes his eyes and points.
That's another amazing. Way of saying it.
Yeah.
Has he accidentally bought you something you had already?
No, because I actually don't, not a collector. I don't have the money or space for it. So, right. Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to have to start giving him a list so he doesn't get me the same thing 2 years in a row.
That's right. You live in New York, so.
Yeah, exactly.
No space. All right, well, it was fun. And I think he's okay. He's a good actor. But I do appreciate his taste in film. He obviously has very good taste. In fact, he mentioned a very obscure film I like called The Green Ray, but Le Rayon Vert, I'm probably saying that wrong, from Romare, which I thought was very cool. And what was cool is they put the film on the collection just for him, because you know, he's kind of a big deal. So they also do a couple, they do short plus features, but I'm just going to skip these because, just because, I didn't get to watch them. And I'm sure you didn't either. Either of you mm-mm. have comments? No?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well,
nope.
So
Rashomon's a good film.
It is.
Absolutely.
Or
yeah.
somebody told me. So Digital Spines. Actually, since you're not collectors, do you find this neat when they put a spine with all the features? So this week they had last week was Antichrist, which is something, and the Tree of Wooden Clogs. So Caitlin, do you get into these or no?
Wait, I don't know what it is, so no, obviously, but explain to me what it is, because it sounds interesting.
Well, what they'll do is for like a limited time, like a couple months, they'll put, rather than a physical spine number, like you know the ones you worked on, they'll make a digital spine, and they'll put all the entire movie up there and all the supplements, and then they'll take it off a couple months later. So,
I'm both sides of that, right? Like, it's kind of nice.
That's
like,
a good reaction.
We don't need things, but I mean, like, I know who listens to this. They're collectors. I'm more of a book collector than I am a movie collector. And if I can't have it, I'm also an illustrator. So like, I want things to be printed and like, yeah. I want to hold it in my hand. Mm-hmm. And like, there's something kind of, I can never quite get behind the like ephemerality of something like that. Like, ooh, you know, flits in for a second, then goes away, and then you don't get it anymore. But I'm getting more used to that though, because like I don't buy DVDs much anymore because you can get anything at any time. So you kind of give up that a little bit. And in some ways, it's nice because you know who has the space. But in another one, it's kind of sad because then we lose the physical things that you know.
I mean, well, as would it horrify you for them to put up AmerCord or maybe the organizer as a digital spy and discourage people from buying your work?
Yeah, I really wouldn't horrify me.
Sorry, that's the wrong word.
I mean, if they didn't make the physical one at all, that would be a bummer. I mean, I think if they were doing both, it wouldn't bother me so much. Because then I know that the physical one's out there. Though that being said, it's not like I haven't done work for, you know, websites or things where there isn't ever a physical object at all. But
that's true.
Yeah, if they did both, it wouldn't really bother me. But it's not like I would say no if they were like, hey, do you want to do this cover? And it's only digital. Like, Eric, if you're listening, don't worry about it.
It's cool.
Still on board.
Hey, Eric, if you're listening, hi, my name's Michelle.
Yeah, hire Michelle. I'd love to see you do a cover. So they had Antichrist and the Tree of Wooden Clogs. So just throw it out there. Jump up. Anybody seen them?
Opinion of Antichrist.
I remember your opinion of Antichrist.
Wait, I want to hear. What's your opinion of Antichrist?
Not
you
a
totally
fan.
You totally loved it. It was it really touched you, right?
It touched me in some way. Not in this way. No, my thing with Lars von Trier is I have yet to be convinced that he has any goal as a director other than to like make his audience miserable. I'm not convinced that he has any other goal. Not a big fan.
Well, I actually kind of, it's a very, I mean, he likes to shock and all that, but I actually can turn out to love Antichrist. So I know, and I'm very much in the minority. And you know, if I talk to my, I'm not going to go around and talk to my friends about how much I love Antichrist and recommend.
I would like to know why though. Like, what is it? Because I mean, I feel the same, Michelle, as you do. Lars von Trier is like the only thing that I. My brain, Dogville.
Yeah.
It's the only one that I've seen of his where I was kind of like that. Kind of satisfied something,
like really?
I mostly because she gets revenge and they're like there's some kind of like sick, you know, redemption or something, I don't know. But the other ones they do that just seems to get more and more sad and horrible until you've been pushed to your absolute limit and you're completely miserable and then the movie's over.
I think that's if I just watched Antichrist once and forgotten about it, I might have had the same take as you, Michelle, but we did an episode where we talked about a lot of gross films, and so we kind of peeled back the layers, and I really appreciated that little slow motion effect he did, and I kind of got into the psychology between the two characters, so yeah, I kind of get sucked in, and once you've seen it, you know, once you've seen Sallow, you're kind of desensitized to everything, so.
I will say, though, yeah, a little caveat on that. I don't mind gross, disturbing films. I like, you know, I like a messed up film. I've seen Sallow, you know, I've been there. So it's not just that it's like disturbing and shocking. I just don't get behind if there's like really anything else there that I care about. But I will also say that it is a beautiful film. I'm not gonna knock that. It is gorgeous.
Well, you're not alone, and I hated Nymphomaniac, and I hated a lot of his films. Breaking the Waves, I love, but yeah, I think you're right that he is a provocateur and does not treat well his actresses and actors well. I think he's been criticized for his actresses. So anyway, well, okay, let's move on. So another series they do is Observations on Film Art, which I really like because it's. It's the academics that wrote my film textbook, and I don't know why, David Bordwell and Kristen Thompson, and also Jeff Smith. And so this week they did one about Red, which is just a short thing about the camera movement in Red. And I'm a big fan. In fact, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. So I was like nodding the whole time watching it, basically saying, yes, it's brilliant, brilliant. So I'm sure you didn't get a chance to watch it, but are you fans of Red or Kieslowski?
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like a movie an artist would like because there's so much, you know, it's almost like it's painted. it's almost like an illustration in the frame. So, Michelle,
I haven't seen Red. I haven't seen any of the Three Colors. I saw Double Life of Veronique, I think, is the only thing of his I've seen. But I did watch the short, and yeah, I loved it. I love this whole series, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's especially suited towards me, who's such a hobbyist, didn't go to film school, you know, like, I took one film class in college, and yeah, it feels a little bit like picking up on the things that I missed.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, it's interesting that you watch that having not seen the film. So it's not like it spoils anything.
Yeah, it wasn't spoilery, and I was worried that it wouldn't be the same. But I think it's actually kind of nice, because now I feel kind of primed to watch the film. Like, now that I'm going to look for that, but not have to think too hard about it. It's just going to like be in the back of my mind when I actually sit down and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, and they're all good, but Red, I think, just the way it handles human interactions and kind of the optimism mixed with cynicism, basically with the two characters, and just the, technically it's brilliant. So I just cannot say enough about that movie. So yeah, well, they have Friday double features, and I have yet to stay up on a Friday to watch one of their double features, but they had, well, this was kind of an odd 2 weeks. Not the banner titles here, but there was Red Desert by Antonioni, and then The Last Wave by Peter Weir, and then this week they did, actually I thought it was going to be Journey to Italy, and that's what I wrote down, but it was actually The Trip, and then Trip to Italy, and that's the Coogan what's the Bryden series?
Yeah, Rob Bryden.
So do you like those, Michelle?
Yeah, I've actually seen both of these.
Oh,
and
I have too.
I do really like them.
We saw the first, I think it was just The Trip is the first one, right?
Yeah.
We like Steve Coogan and Alan Partridge and all that. So so yeah, it was fun. It's weird to see them on the Criterion Channel. Not that it's not artistic, but it was kind of random. Do you think, could you see these coming out on Criterion, or?
I could.
Yeah?
If they're going to put out Fire Walk with Me. And like, these movies are great. Like, you know, and there's such a following for them. They're very, you know, they're sweet and funny, and, you know, they're really enjoyable films. And, yeah, why not?
Yeah, they have such great rapport, too, those two actors. So I haven't seen the second one, because it seemed kind of like a rehash of the first. And I thought for a while it might have been a remake, so... Is it worth seeing the second one? Have you seen the first?
The second one's exactly like the first one.
Great.
Yeah, so if you like the first one, you get to do it again with new and like new impressions and
yeah. Exactly.
Okay. All right. So it's not like same script.
There's like a slightly different focus and like a slightly different conflict, but all of that is just secondary to them just like doing impressions and making jokes. Like, it's just about banter. It's just 2 hours of banter.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm down with that. So, no, they are hilarious people. They released a bunch of Aki Kaurismäki films. Anyone?
Nope. Sorry.
It's okay.
No. Wait.
Very art house, but I like him, but very obscure. Actually, we had a lot to say about him on the Lost episode. And then just recently, they released Split Screen Season 4, which I've yet to watch any of those. And this one had Movie Phone, which I thought was interesting. And so this is like a late 90s, early 2000s TV series about film that they've been publishing. So,
yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't watched one yet. I hear it's okay, but you know, basically it's 90s and 2000s Movie Phone. If you're interested in Movie Phone,
how are we supposed to have enough time to watch all this stuff?
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, we have kids, we have jobs. So, well, Kaylin has a kid. So,
kid.
And needs to sleep. And so, yeah. So yeah, that's it. We got through this. We just have a piece of flair. How do you feel?
Great.
I feel good.
Okay. Cool. Well. Piece of Flair is fun. It's just something that is not Criterion related that you want to talk about. So, Caitlin, did you bring a piece of flair with you?
Well, I wrote down three things, actually, because I couldn't make a decision.
You cheated. please give us all three.
I hear that.
So the first is just about a movie that, since we managed to squeak in a handful of movies before I had the baby, like going to see movies, I managed to see some of the movies. We always try to see the movies that are nominated for Oscars.
Okay.
And I just loved Hell or High Water. I think that was probably one of the best movies I've seen in the last few years, new movies. Did either of you guys see it?
Yeah, you know, I think you need to hang out with my wife. You have the same taste.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it too, but she loved it.
I just think it's one of the most wonderful films, and it, I don't know, I think it was really, it's very timely. I mean, I don't think that they meant it to be this way necessarily, but just the political climate and everything and what it said about people, you know, existing in especially smaller towns and poorer towns in America, and mm-hmm. kind of seeing different sides of people's perspectives. I just thought it was a fantastic film. And then I had just, I got to do a poster for a film, I don't know what to call them. It's just a group of people that get together and put money in hiring illustrators to make posters for movies that they like.
Oh, cool.
And so I got to do Harold and Maude.
Oh, nice.
Which was really fun. It hasn't been printed yet, but so that was something that I was doing right before I had the baby, and I got to, you know, finally do an illustration for some, you know, like, it's already been made into a Criterion movie, and Jordan Crane did an amazing cover, and mm-hmm. so I was never going to get to do that, and then I ended up getting to do the poster, so that was really fun.
Nice. You had a third one, right?
Oh, and I realized that the two of the things are talking about things that I've did, and now I'm like, oh, maybe that makes me sound like a jerk. I just want to talk about stuff I've made.
No, sell yourself.
Yes, okay,
stop selling yourself.
Thanks, guys. Had I done the pinball machine when I talked to you last?
You had, but it's so cool. Please tell it again. And that was actually a different show, too. So.
Okay, well, because I couldn't remember how long ago that was, and I was like, I didn't remember if I'd done this yet, because I got to do the pinball machine for Wes Anderson's cafe in Milan.
That is so cool.
Right, that's crazy.
That's like a dream.
Which one day I'll get to go.
Yeah, we were actually talking about Milan. I think we might get to go, and I didn't even make that connection.
Take a picture of it for me.
I will. Well, if we go. We were talking about going to, like, Mont Blanc, and we were thinking, that's close to Milan, right? It might not be. So,
my ignorance of geography is now clear.
I think
I can help you.
I think as far as like northern Italian cities, it's probably the closest, you know, big tourist city, but I think that's, it's not terribly far. But Michelle, what's your piece of flair?
Well, I'm also going to throw out two, since I'm allowed to do more than one flair. Yeah, the first thing I was going to mention, this is kind of out of left field, but recently I've kind of rediscovered something from my childhood, which is The Ruddles.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you've seen that film or familiar with that. But when I was a kid, I just had like my big Beatles phase, and part of that was this film of The Ruddles. And I rewatched it just recently, and it is so good and so funny. And it's it's like a rock mockumentary that predates Spinal Tap, so that's pretty cool. And yeah, I don't know. If anyone hasn't seen The Ruddles and is a big Beatles fan and a Monty Python fan and wants to have a good laugh, highly recommended.
I haven't seen it in ages, but I remember it being hilarious.
Right? Yeah, I just wanted to revisit that.
It's on Blu-ray. Oh, there's the Ruddles Anthology. Is that the same thing?
It might be. They put out, like, two films, and the second film is just, like, clips of the original plus an extra interview or two. It's, like, not even worth it. But I also, like, this started because I was in a record store, and I found, like, the Ruddles on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
I almost just walked right past because it looked exactly like a Beatles album. And the music is really good. So even if this is like a CD, get the CD.
Get the CD.
The music's good. The movie's good. Yeah, it's great.
It's like Buena Vista Social Club. Movie or CD. It's okay. Or do people buy CDs anymore? Oh, Caitlin, I forgot to ask. So the Harold and Maude, is that going to eventually come out for people to order, or is that just...
So the problem is that it's it's only for the people, they only make the prints for the people who are part of the group. But I will have about 10 artist proofs, or maybe a little bit more than that, to put up on my site to sell.
Oh, cool.
So I will have them available hopefully soon. I don't know what's going on. Something has started, I think they're trying to change screen printers or something. So there is like technical issues. Mm. But yeah, once it's up, I'll post it and cool. I'll have some available.
I'll share it. All right, well, my piece of flair is kind of like Caitlin's. I've been trying to watch some new movies, and so I watched two of my favorite movies of the year, and actually I hated one, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about all three. Why not? Real quick. So I loved The Silence, Scorsese. That was just, I was surprised by how much I loved it. I mean, I expected a three-hour slog, and I thought it was 3 hours, or just about 3 hours, but it was really gripping, and what's his name? Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield. It was fantastic. So on that same note, I hated Hacksaw Ridge. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people like it. I think,
I don't even want to see it.
Yeah. And I'm good about separating the art and the artist, but, and you know, Mel Gibson is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't care how you slice it. Just not a very pleasant person, but you know, I'd be willing to look past that. But I think I just don't like his director. I just don't like his work, and I that was just reaffirmed when I saw this. So anyway, and
is that then, Andrew Garfield too?
It is. He's good. He's good in that. But yeah, I just it was not my thing. And then
was it cheesy? It looked kind of cheesy.
Yeah, yeah. But my wife loved it, so you might like it.
Oh.
she was crying at the end. She was very moved. So I don't want to shit on her experience, but. But I couldn't. In fact, I didn't watch the whole way through. So it takes a lot for me to do that. And then the last movie really caught me off guard. It was called The Edge of 17, and I loved this movie. It was like one of the most, like if I just gave you the synopsis, it would sound like a boring coming of age teenage drama/ mm-hmm. comedy. But it was really, I don't know. It's hard to describe it. It really just had that special something and. Yeah, so I would highly recommend that. Woody Harrelson plays a great teacher character, and
I saw it too.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Good, good.
It's such a good movie. I feel like it's such a, I don't know, teen movies tend to really miss the mark, and I think that it was really realistic. It felt really honest, and yeah, Woody Harrelson was hilarious.
Yeah, and obviously I'm not a teenage girl, and this is. Not the type of film that probably is in my demographic, but yeah, I think that it nailed the coming of age experience and like just the mm-hmm. the neuroses of the teenage years. Even though that the particular character had a pretty rough go, but yeah, no, go see Edge of 17, and it's not Tarkovsky, but it's really good. So. All right, well that's it. So where can we find you online, Caitlin?
My website, it's caitlinkuwald.com, and pretty much every social site I'm on, just my name, because no one else has my name, so it's really easy to find me.
That's very convenient. Yeah, I don't have that problem. A lot of people have my name, surprisingly. Michelle, where can people find you?
MichelleRosenthal.com, and on the social media, I'm Dial M for Michelle, and it's Michelle with one L.
Now, do a lot of people have
I like that.
Michelle Rosenthal?
Thank you. What was that?
Are there a lot of other Michelle Rosenthals out there?
I know all the other Michelle Rosenthals in the world. We've kind of all talked to each other at one point or another, just a message or a mistaken email. Yeah, but no other artist Michelle Rosenthal's as far as I know.
Actually, I know a lot of Aaron West for the same reason. Isn't that amazing? And Caitlin Kula, that's what you're missing.
Yeah. Well, I don't have my own community of people named me.
If I can... no, there's no way I can make that happen. Never mind. Well, I'm at AWES505 on Twitter, and the show's at Criterion_now on Twitter, but as I just mentioned at the beginning, I suck at tweeting it, so don't follow us unless you want to tag us on something. Go to the Facebook group, and yeah, that's it. So thanks for... Oh, and you can find the show on Criterion Cast Network, so on Criterion Cast Master Feed. So thank you so much for joining. Just any last thoughts about illustration to sign off?
I don't know.
I'm gonna end on saying that I'm really excited to meet you, Caitlin. I love your work, and you're living my dream job, illustrating for Criterion. So big fan.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, it's been definitely the most exciting work I've ever done. I feel really honored, and I'm always so, amazed that I've got to do all those covers. It's just been so much fun. Mm-hmm. And it's an absolute pleasure to meet you too.
Oh, thanks.
And Michelle is no slouch. You haven't done Criterion covers, but I've seen your work, and you do good stuff, and you have good clients. I mean, you're not doing it for Joe's Pizza on the corner.
No, I've gotten a client or two under my belt.
Yeah, well, it's nice to facilitate this, and Eric, give Michelle a cover. She's due, and Caitlin, when she has time, give her a cover too.
Oh, I always have time for that.
Okay, well, maybe a dual cover. No, that probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, I just feel like there are a few clients that respect illustration as much as Criterion does, and you probably have more of a view to that than I do. But you can say if that's accurate.
No, I absolutely agree. Eric's. I mean, the part of the problem with getting work from them now is he used to not really know that many people. That's probably why I started working for them. He didn't, and he hired me, and now he has this list of people that he wants to work with, and he loves illustration so much.
Really clear.
And you can tell, yeah. And he's so good at casting illustrators for the roles of these films. Mm-hmm. Every movie I've ever done, I'd never seen, and I loved the film, and I got why he chose me. He's such a fan, and that's why they're so amazing.
Yeah, any ensemble piece, I would think you would be the go-to, because you're good at drawing people.
That's what he told me. And how did I? I always try to give him ideas that are not ensemble pieces. Because as much as I will do anything that he wants me to do, but I'm always what if I just did this one person this time?
hey, Caitlin, how about Stalker?
Oh, God. Yeah, there you go.
And Michelle could do Lars von Trier films.
they don't want me for that one.
No. That one, Lars would probably not put his director-approved signature if you did that. All right, well, it's been a pleasure having you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and look forward to seeing both of your work. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.